Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 16th of October, 2011. Hello and welcome, thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Tim's speaking on a new priesthood, and the reading, which will be read by Jenny, is Hebrews 8, verses 3 to 13. So let's go and join Jenny for the reading, and then Tim will start the sermon.
The reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 8, verses 3 to 13. Hebrews chapter 8, 3 to 13. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already men who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, "See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But the ministry of Jesus has received it. But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, and it is founded on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. Thanks be to God for his word.
This morning we're going to be thinking about a new priesthood. This week I had the joy of going to a pensions roadshow in Exeter. For those who don't know anything about it, the dear old pension funds in this country are a bit up the creek, aren't they? And the Baptist minister's sort of pension fund is exactly the same. And there's been a crisis and a challenge in all of this. And it meant that we had to have a pretty dull day, I have to say, talking about things that went straight over my head. Things that I had absolutely no idea what they were talking about, because I'm not good on sort of financial stuff. But one thing that they did do was that they compared the old Baptist minister's pension scheme with the proposed new Baptist pension scheme. Did you notice the difference? New and improved, in theory. And it struck me that actually we need to do exactly the same this morning if we're going to try and work through the theme that we have of this new priesthood. We've got to look back before we can look forward. Now, I'm conscious that we probably all have different mental images of what a priesthood looks like. We've probably all got different ideas, from vestments and dog collars to Old Testament men with sacrificial knives in their hands. And all of those images and those ideas can actually get in the way of what actually being a priest is all about. And for those of you who are feeling tired this morning, okay, I decided I'd give you the punchline first. All right? So that you can actually just take it away with you. So the punchline is very simple. If you're a Christian, then actually the priesthood looks like you. You are what the priesthood looks like. So let's start thinking initially about what the old priesthood looked like and then delve just a little bit deeper. So let's think about the old priesthood. And the first thing to note might be a surprise to some. Because in the covenant made between God and Israel, the whole people were seen as being in some way priestly. This was God's promise in the Old Testament. You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Does that ring any bells? And from the whole of the people, in the Old Testament, there were different specific priestly functions given to three orders. There was the high priest, there were the priests, and there were the Levites. And just to put it simply, the priests were male descendants of Aaron. I'm sorry, ladies, it feels very bad initially this morning. Okay? The priests were male descendants of Aaron. The Levites were male members of the tribe of Levi. And the chief functions of the priesthood were actually in the temple, which we got a little picture, an idea of what it might have looked like in the corner there. And they looked after all of the ceremonial vessels, and they performed the sacrifices. And in doing their duties, they dressed in special, specific, symbolic vestments. And they were also teachers, passing on all the traditions of the nation. And they were also the people you went to if you needed medical advice. So they were incredibly important people. And the high priest was then selected from that body of priests and was the spiritual head of Israel. And he had special duties. We've looked at before when we were looking at Jesus recently about the Day of Atonement and how the high priest would go in once a year. And the high priest had special duties. And the Levites assisted the priests and served the congregation. And they would sing the psalms and they would keep the temple courts clean. They helped to prepare certain sacrifices and offerings, and they would also have a teaching role as well. And through these three different offices of priesthood, the nation was given, if you like, or fulfilled their role of being a holy nation. If you like, by it, the people offered their worship to God. They made intercession and petition. They learned about God's will and thought about that. And the other little aside to it, in every pious home, the head of the household guided his family through the different traditions and would act as a priest for the family. But it all went a little bit wrong, as is the wont in the Old Testament so often. There was a setup which should have actually encompassed everybody and given everybody a sense of ownership. However, that drifted at various times. At some points in the history of the nation, the priests were corrupt and failed in their duties. The Levites didn't fulfill their role. And corruption and all sorts of rather unsavory things crept in. And the result of this was that in the whole nation, the idea of priesthood became a specialized role. And in the mind of the nation, the priesthood became separate from their own sense of responsibility. That's the Old Testament picture of priesthood. But I have good news this morning, because we have the revolutionary priest. There's another really interesting little aside I found as I was doing my preparation this week. And it's this truth. If you come from a tradition that has a separate priesthood, I'm not apologizing, but here's the truth. The term priest is never used in the New Testament to describe a minister, elder, deacon, or that the church should have a separate priesthood. Isn't that amazing? It's just not there. It's just not there. The images of priesthood are introduced, but they're never introduced into the church. Why? Why? Well, the reason is clear in the book of Hebrews, and the reading that we had earlier made it abundantly clear that actually the old order of priesthood is now redundant. It's been fulfilled in the revolutionary priest, Jesus. Why is that? Well, it's worth just unpacking that for a moment or two. The thing is that, first of all, Jesus has been appointed high priest by God himself. Do you want to read with me, if you can read it? Sorry, it's slightly smaller than normal. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." And it's a priesthood which is superior to the priesthood of Aaron in the Old Testament. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. And it's very clear that Jesus is this revolutionary figure, and that he changes everything. And the second thing related to this is that, being totally sympathetic to our lives as ordinary people who mess things up, who are sinful, who get things wrong, that Jesus was tempted in exactly the same way, and yet Jesus was without sin. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. And you might want to read this second one, because it's a statement of truth. Such a high priest meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic? But there's more. And I could get excited, and I did try and limit what I was going to say, because otherwise I could get carried away. Because thirdly, instead of animal sacrifices offered to take away sin, Jesus offered himself as the sinless lamb to deal with sin once and forever. And again, from Hebrews, we read, "He," Jesus, "sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself." And so the Old Testament sacrificial system is fulfilled and finished by the unique, unrepeatable, and unlimited sacrifice of Jesus. We're getting to the good news bit, aren't we, this morning? There's one more here. That Jesus is a priest forever and remains the same. Again, from Hebrews, it's a good book for all of this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. One more. Jesus continually offers intercession for his people. You know, the main sort of role, if you like, of a priest in the Old Testament was to act as an intermediary between ordinary people and God. And in that role, they would take all that the people wanted to say to God, and they would, on their behalf, offer it. And then, in theory, they were supposed to take God's word and communicate that to the people. Jesus does away with that intermediary level, because he is the one who is always interceding on our behalf. And so, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Isn't that good news? There's somebody on your side every minute of every day pleading your cause. Now, I don't know about you, but I get excited at that. You know, we're too British. We should have a little bit of Afro-Caribbean here, shouldn't we? We should have some hallelujahs springing from the back, okay? Nigel and Chris, spring up with a hallelujah. Go on, go for it. But the reality is, this transforms everything. We are accepted in Jesus. We enter into the holy presence of God because of all that he has done for us. And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so when we start thinking about this new priesthood, it is only possible because of the work of Jesus. The Jesus who is our high priest and our mediator between us and God. He is the one who brings a completely new way of relating to Father God into practice. And so God has established this new way, and he has abolished the old system. Now remember that Hebrews was written to Jews. Can you imagine how radical, how scary these words and truths were to the people that it was written to originally? If you wanted to upset a religious Jew, Hebrews was the book to read. Okay? But the reality is that God was simply wanting to renew his vision of promise from the Old Testament. He wanted to renew the truth that we thought about right at the beginning. You shall be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. That's the Old Testament promise. And in Jesus, we find a way of making it real. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. We are a royal priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In Revelation, we are to be priests to his God and Father, for Jesus. And again in Revelation, a kingdom of priests to our God. Isn't that an amazing image? Incredible image. So what does it mean then, being a new priesthood? We sometimes come across the little phrase that God has established the priesthood of all believers. Now, pretty much all denominations believe in this in theory. Do you notice what I said there? In theory. But the reality of it sometimes gets a little bit missed. So, what was priesthood in Jesus? Jesus as our high priest can be defined in this way. I really like this. It's very short. His complete dedication and obedience to God, his Father, and unlimited compassion to his fellow human beings. At the centre is his sacrificial death on the cross. I like that's a good summary. On this basis, and in complete dependence on him and not in our own strength, our role as a new priesthood is very similar. Our sacrificial obedience to God, which includes spiritual worship and love of God and compassionate activities and prayer for fellow human beings. That's a pretty good summary as well, isn't it? That's the description of being the new priesthood. Remember what Paul said. He said, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Friends, we're supposed to offer our whole life to Jesus. And each local church is to offer itself wholly to Jesus. And Christ then offers his whole body, us, the church, to God the Father. And so in and by Jesus, the priesthood of all believers is the indwelling Holy Spirit. And it's his power that we need to course through us so that we can serve God in the right way with power and authority and gentleness and compassion and meekness and joy and perseverance. And, well, I could go on, couldn't I? Jesus is our example of what being his priests should look like, as well as being the one who's in charge as our high priest. So this new priesthood looks like this. It's about individuals personally experiencing a relationship with God directly. Nobody else involved. By faith, all Christians approach God directly and personally through Jesus. Romans 5 says this, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. The second thing about being this new priesthood is this. We offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Now, we've already said that the whole life of Christians is to be an act of service, reflecting God's love in all of our relationships and in all of the ways in which we interact with those around us. I love the way that it's phrased, and interestingly, we sang about it in one of the first songs. Our life should be a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And so all of our work, all of our activity, all of our prayer, all of our praise is to be offered to God. Here's another one. It's about declaring the gospel so that by our words and by our actions, as Christians, we're supposed to be revealing the love of God to other people in Jesus. We're to express the reality of what Peter describes. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Notice he says it four ways instead of two ways, like in the Old Testament. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And when you look at the context of that, it's not just about singing songs on a Sunday. Declaring God's praise is about taking the reality of who he is into our lives and making it evident. Later on, just a few verses later, Peter says these words. Do you want to read this with me? It's a bit of a challenge. Live such good lives among the pagans that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Anybody challenged by that one? Who should be the best people in our society? God's priesthood. And we are his priesthood. You didn't want to be challenged too much this morning, did you? Just a small one. And the last thing I wanted to sort of point out, it's also about living together as the church. Requests, prayer, intercession and thanksgiving should be made for everyone, Timothy is told. And the New Testament spends so much of its time describing all of the interrelationships that we should know as God's people. All of those little nitty-gritty things that should make our life work as God's people. Describing what this community of priests is supposed to look like. And ladies, you're now in the game, okay? The New Testament says that we should be loving one another. That forgiveness should be a way of life in our relating together. That we should be actively seeking unity in everything that we do. That together we celebrate those special moments of faith as people come to believe in Jesus, as people are baptized, as people become part of the family by joining the local church, as we celebrate communion and all that Jesus did for us. When we put all of that together, we then start to be excited and motivated and active in wanting to serve God and the wider community as we want to seek to extend God's kingdom here where God has planted us. And all of that is done on the reliance and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It's very much reflecting the image that we've used consistently over the last couple of years. That image that we grow together. We grow as we come together as God's church. And then resourced, empowered, equipped, motivated, envisioned, we then go with a sense of mission and direction into our ordinary lives and also to start new glimpses of God's kingdom in new ministries and new ways of communicating God's love and his grace. That's pretty much it. But let's summarise it. Being the new priesthood is not about vestments, status, services, or special individuals. It is about the relationships we each have with God, with one another, and engaging with those outside the family. One of our church members had a picture during worship recently. And I was praying about it this week, and I really felt it was appropriate to share it at this moment. And I just want to read to you. I saw several white sheets of cloth hanging. They looked approximately 12 foot high by about 8 foot wide. And there were about 6 or 7 of them. They were all lined up one after the other, so you could only see one at a time. The first sheet ripped from top to bottom, revealing the next sheet. Then the second sheet also tore from top to bottom, revealing the sheet behind it. And this happened to all of the white sheets, tearing from top to bottom and always revealing the sheet behind it. The sheets were whole until the sheet in front had revealed it. After the last white sheet was torn, it then revealed a black sheet of similar size. The black sheet had the tension pulling on the top to tear, but it didn't tear except for only about 2 inches. It just started to rip. The image was very clear and felt very strong, and I had a very strong sense of the Holy Spirit on me. It didn't feel like the picture was about freedom or peace, but more of a tension within it, and it was more for the church rather than the individual. My thoughts, although I don't usually receive interpretations for pictures, perhaps the white sheets were things that were false but looked okay, and that they needed to be pulled apart in order to reach the root of the problem or the difficulty or the obstruction. I wonder whether that picture was given to actually call us to a greater sense of obedience in being God's people. I just share it. You can take it away, pray about it, think whether it's appropriate for you. But I share it today because perhaps some of us have hidden from our own responsibility to be priests behind different things. God wants us to tear down those things which hold us back from becoming all that he wants us to be as his children. And as I finish this morning, I'd like us to pray into those different aspects of being the new priesthood that we've just identified. And as I do it, I really do encourage you to take that personally, in a good way. You know, don't take it personally in a bad way. You know, use that phrase sometimes. But actually to take it as an opportunity to respond to what God wants to speak into our lives. And just a reminder, being the new priesthood is about personally experiencing a relationship with God directly. And it may be that we've started that relationship, but we know that we've wandered from that sense of first love. It's about offering spiritual sacrifices to God. Maybe some of us are still struggling with actually offering the whole of who we are. Hey, we all do it at some point or other. Maybe that's what God wants us to respond to this morning. Maybe it's about declaring the gospel. But actually that's the challenge God wants you to take hold of this morning, and with his help, with his power, open to his Spirit, to be more aware of our responsibility as his priests to declare the gospel. And for some, it might be a challenge within our living together as church and that sense of community and commitment to one another that God wants us to take hold of. Leaving those on the screen, and just for a moment or two, look at those four. And what I'm going to do is very simply, I'm going to go through those four and pray over each one. And I don't do this very often, but sometimes I think it is very useful to do something physical as a response. And if one of those areas God has spoken to you about, you think, yeah, that's the one. It's not in judgment, it's in a sense of, I want to respond in love and commitment to God. I invite you to stand as I go through these different elements of what it means to be together, the priesthood of God. I'd like to just consider for a moment or two, and then I'll lead us in prayer. I suggest now that we just close our eyes so you're not aware of who's standing and who isn't. You don't need to worry about that. I invite you, if you've been spoken this morning about your relationship with God, if you'd just like to stand as a response to him. Father God, thank you that you love us so much that you sent Jesus. Thank you that you have expressed in concrete terms your commitment to us. And right now, Lord, we want to express our commitment to you. We want to grow in our relationship with you day by day, moment by moment. Perhaps God's been speaking to some about their spiritual sacrifices to God, about offering all that we are, from our work and our family, all the different aspects that make up who we are, needing to be given to him in worship. And if that's you, I invite you to stand at this point. Father God, you long to enter every aspect of our lives, to fill it with your presence, your love, your power, and your joy. And Lord, we seek your face now and say, Father God, help us to allow you into every aspect of who we are. We offer ourselves to you in worship. If God's speaking to you about declaring the gospel, of taking up that responsibility as his priesthood, would you like to stand now? Thank you. Father God, so often we struggle when we're told to tell people about you. Somehow, Lord, our tongues get tied. We get nervous and scared. We want to run the other way. And yet, Lord, you have given us everything. And Father God, we want to give you the whole of who we are, that others might respond and know you in their own lives. We pray that by your Holy Spirit you would fill us with power and confidence and joy in serving you. We ask, Lord, that you would give us that spiritual awareness when it is appropriate to speak, and you'd also give us that sensitivity to know when our actions need to speak. But in whatever way it may be, Father, we pray you would make us effective in declaring your truth through our lives. For some this morning, the challenge is about living as the church. And that context of loving and being united, of serving and caring for one another, and then taking that and making it a reality as we move out from being a congregation and become missionaries, missionary priests. If that reflects something of you, then would you like to stand now? Thank you, Father God, that when you call us to yourself, you call us to a relationship together. And that, Father God, you call us to love, support, encourage, and to be alongside everyone as part of our family. But, Lord God, we know that's not always easy. And it takes humbleness. It takes maturity. It takes courage to live in that sort of relationship. And so this morning, we commit ourselves once more to being an expression of Jesus to one another. Committed, caring, and loving. In your precious name we pray all of these prayers and ask, Father God, that you would establish us as your priesthood in this place to love you and to communicate you in our community. In the precious name of our High Priest we pray. Amen.
To leave a comment on the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. We'll thank you once again for listening. Please stay subscribed and I'll speak to you soon.